RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome in. Talking a little college sports, bowl games, if you will. You can text the program 503-864-6326. Someone said, yeah, the banana split bowl sounds awesome. Exactly. Someone says, bowl game promoters should be talking to minor league baseball team managers. Those people's entire profession is to come up with gimmicks to get people to be interested. Yes. I don't know why this is such a hard concept for people to grasp. At the end of the day, nothing we do in sports matters. There's no more self-important thing that we do in this world than sports. We try to make it out like these games matter. And you hear, well, if the game doesn't matter, then why am I paying attention to it? Well, what does a college football playoff game matter? None of it does. If Oregon wins or loses on Thursday, what does it change for you? What does it change for Dan Lanning? Other than, I mean, I guess you get to say, well, I don't know, he can't win the big one or he does win the big one. It's a narrative, but none of it really matters. It matters because Dan Lanning makes $11 million a year, and it matters because Oregon uses it to jack up tuition and it gets more kids to apply to it, and it matters because ESPN gets a bunch of ratings off it and they're able to sell advertisement, but does it really matter? No, none of these things do. Nothing we do in sports matters. It's entertainment. And when entertainment dwindles, the sport dies. I mean, honestly, this is like the whole WNBA thing right now. Finally, there's some like momentum in women's basketball. They've been playing for a quarter century and no one has cared. Not one of those championships anyone paid any attention to, but they're having a moment right now and people pay attention to it. It's the same sport. It's just now all of a sudden we've decided to care. And when we decide to care, there's money to be made there. But if we woke up tomorrow and decided that college football or the NFL or Major League Baseball, boxing was one of those. At one point, boxing was the biggest sport in the world. It's not. It's largely irrelevant now. It's been replaced by the UFC. You know, we stuff only matters when we decide it matters. And so if we decide collectively that bowl games don't matter because we stop paying attention, then they don't matter. But if you get promotions that decide to cook up some fun stuff and they get eyeballs on them, all of a sudden they'll matter. If you have a fan base that's excited to go play or watch, the Taco John Laramie Bowl, all of a sudden there'll be money put into that. And now that bowl game will have money to be paid out. And now fan bases will want to travel there and people on TV will want to see it. And lo and behold, that game matters.
I think it's just getting frustrating that people are starting to push the narrative of, I guess it's narrative versus entertainment. And the fact that we're getting bad entertainment from these games says a lot about what we should be saying about the narrative.
Yeah. The NBA Cup is another great example. The NBA has spent $100 million trying to get the NBA Cup to matter. Who won the NBA Cup this year?
The Knicks.
Who'd they play?
The Spurs.
There you go. Look at you. You know who won the year before?
Not a clue.
Doesn't matter. The NBA wants it to matter. Steven knew, right?
It was the Bucks.
The Bucks. So we had the Lakers, the Bucks. They won it the last 2 years, and now the Knicks.
Now the Knicks.
Yeah. Some teams didn't hang banners, and they got killed for it, and now someone is going to hang a banner, and they get killed for it. It's like, it doesn't matter. But the NBA wants it to matter, so they're spending a bunch of money to tell you that it matters. So it's this weird world that we live in. Something matters when we put resources and money into it. The women's basketball, the movement we're having right now in women's sports, more resources are being dumped into it, more coverage is being had of it, the athletes are getting better, and lo and behold, people are paying attention to it. And I've heard this from women all the time. They said, if we paid more mind to it 20 years ago, the game would be in a better place. It's true. When we care about something and we dump resources into it, it grows. It's the old ad, like, if I have a plant and I never water it, I never feed it, it dies. If I do water and feed it, it becomes a beautiful plant, more people pay attention to it. That's my whole thing that we have with college sports, and this is going to lead me to the conspiracy theory that I find actually pretty interesting. Because every day now when I wake up, like, I didn't plan on talking about this today. I woke up and I thought, hey, it's a big weekend of the NFL. There's only one, like, there's a couple actual playoff spots on the line, two of them. Everything else is seeding. You know, the Packers are the only decided seed in the NFL right now? The only one. The Packers are the 7 seed in the NFC.
And that's the only...
It's the only one. 1 through 6 is completely up for grabs. Now, some teams are locked into whether you'll be the 5 or the 6, but the only seed settled right now in the NFL is the Packers at 7. No matter what happens this weekend, the Packers will be the 7 seed. And the AFC, everything is wide open. So I came in, like, if I showed you my show notes, and I kind of go over these when I'm doing the show by myself, and before I go to bed, I kind of put down a little one spot, and my NFL notes are 3 times greater than anything else. But as I was kind of going through today, I heard from the president of the NCAA, Charlie Baker, heard from the Rutgers head basketball coach, who I didn't know who that was. There was a 7-minute rant by John Calipari that was making the rounds. Steve Sarkisian was screaming from the mountaintops because he wouldn't shut up about it. When I was driving in today and I was flipping around the dial, Paul Feinbaum wouldn't shut up about it. It was the main topic on First Take, and I was like, okay, well, this, again, has become the narrative, right? And then I heard this conspiracy theory, and I was like, oh my God, this is actually a pretty good conspiracy theory. And then Pat McAfee had Nick Saban on, by the way, and Nick Saban was like, I can already fix college football. This is what it is. And he went on like this 2-minute rant, and now everyone's passing it around being like, Nick Saban knows that this is the way to fix it. You know what the first thing Nick Saban said? Congress. We need Congress, right? And this goes to the conspiracy theory. The only way this gets settled, the only way we stop freaking out, the only way that we stop freaking out about this is collective bargaining or congressional approval. And we know the powers that be don't want collective bargaining. That means we have to include the players and we have to give them a fair split. And that's the easiest way to do it.
And who starts to represent the players?
Yeah, no one wants that. So we need Congress, right? And Congress can't figure anything out. So how do we get Congress involved? And so the working theory is that every single person involved in this, from Nick Saban to John Calipari, which also, let me just point out, I find it hilarious that John Calipari, of all people, is bitching and moaning about not having rules. You crooked son of a bitch. You have 2 Final Fours taken away from you. What? John Calipari had the nerve to go on a 7-minute rant today about how there's no rules in college sports. You had a Final Four team at UMass. Oh, wait, you didn't because it got taken away. You went to the Final Four with Memphis. You went to the national title game. No, you didn't, because it got taken away. He had the nerve to mention student athletes. Derrick Rose was the player on that team. That's the reason why you played in the national title game. Someone took Derrick Rose's entrance exam for him. Who wasn't Derrick Rose? John Calipari. And you have the balls to stand up here and go on a 7-minute rant about how the NCAA is broken and the whole thing is collapsing upon itself and you don't want to be involved in it? Oh, dude, you are so sleazy that you could ooze under the door of the NCAA. That's how slimy you are, John Calipari. And yet you're now talking about how there's no rules. And it's the guys that have benefited the most from cheating, Nick Saban, who are the most vocal about this system now being broken, because now everyone can do it. Back in the day, Calipari and Saban could do it, and they were doing it better than everyone else, and now everyone can do it just above board. It's like why everyone hates Oregon now. It's like, oh, Oregon's the new kid on the block. Yeah, they can just now do what you do. They didn't know how to cheat the right way before. They ain't cheat now, because they can just pay everyone whatever the hell they want. They got Phil Knight. And so the working theory, and I think it's really, really freaking good. Everyone involved in this is crying and yelling and screaming, but actively leaning into tanking this thing. Because the only way you're going to get Congress to act, the only way you are going to get Republicans and Democrats to get off their ass, get together, and grant something, antitrust protection, that no other business gets, by the way. I mean, this would be unprecedented. A $1 billion business who's just cannibalizing itself, and you're just asking them to be allowed to operate illegally and different than every other business in America simply because we want it. That's it. It's the only argument is, well, we really like college sports the way it was, so we'd like them to be able to not have to play by anyone else's rules. So let's give them their own. That's not going to happen unless it gets so bad and it turns into a dumpster fire. If the stink from that tire fire gets so high that no one can ignore it, And they'll be like, oh my God, we have to do something. I saw Ted Cruz today tweet that he's working on this day and night because, my God, college sports is dying. Is it dying, or do we just have a lot of people yelling and screaming that it's dying? Do we have a lot of people now yelling about Iowa State and Auburn and all the transfer portal? Because no one cared when Washington State and Oregon State lost 150 players. No one cared about that, but now that it's happening to Iowa State, or God forbid that it's happening to Auburn, now we care. Now that Texas is losing three running backs and Steve Sarkisian is yelling about it, again, now we care. I actually think it's not a bad, I don't think it's a bad conspiracy theory that everyone from the NCAA, who has just said, we're not going to touch it, we're just going to cross our arms, because the NCAA has said all along the one thing they will not abide is collective bargaining. They don't want it. They don't want it. And the only way they can do it is by purposely cratering it. And I do think it's a fair question to ask, is that Charlie Baker and Steve Sarkisian and Nick Saban and everyone else, are they purposely steering this thing into the side of the mountain, putting no guardrails up, and then spending every minute of every day bitching about how stupid it is while crying to daddy up on Capitol Hill, please save us, please save us, please save us, please save us. And remember, what are they saving us from? Ourselves.
Yeah, rather than point the finger at the rest of the NCAA or point the finger inward, you know, the Spider-Man meme, it's let's find a new person to blame. And who's the easiest person to go and be the scapegoat? The government.
It's just kind of a, I think it's actually kind of a brilliant strategy. If you can lean into the tank, if you can lean into making this thing as bad as humanly possible, and get the government to come in and magically give you a set of rules where you don't have to do the one thing you don't want to do, which is include the players. If that's what they're doing, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy. Because all along, everyone that's crying about it is making tens of millions of dollars. Steve Sarkisian makes $12 million a year, and John Calipari makes $8 million a year. And they're the ones that get to stand up and be like, my God, this system is completely trashed. And if we don't do something about it, our sport dies. But I'm still making $12 million. And by doing this, someone comes in and fix my problem. And you know what? The one aspect of when this thing gets, quote, fixed by the government, you know what won't change? The one thing that won't change? Their salaries. Everything else about their job will get easier. It will get better. But the one thing that won't change, the only thing that won't change, is their ability to make as much money as possible, their ability to transfer whenever they want to, their ability to take whatever job they want to. Every other aspect of this changes but that. Again, not a conspiracy theorist. I'm starting to buy into that one, that it's a collective effort of saying, just take your hand off the wheel, and the best way to fix this is let the car crash. And then even though the car crashes, and yeah, it's a bad crash, no one died. But we're going to pretend that it's the worst car crash in the history of the world. It's a false flag. Let's get involved in a war. It worked for Vietnam. Why not this? I really do think that there's something to that. And it's kind of sad and pathetic, but that's the world we're living in. That it's officially has made me a bit of a conspiracy theorist on this. Maybe we'll hear from some of these coaches as we come back. We'll actually talk about some of the bowl games. And again, I will get to my NFL news and notes, because I do think it is a great weekend of the NFL. And I know it doesn't feel like there's that many spots left, but seeding and positioning and jockeying means something. And if you don't think it means something, you should listen to Sean McVay after last night's disaster of a Monday night game. That, when we come back. Here, though, is Casey with an update. Talking a little college football. By the way, the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl going on right now. The vicious cackfight between Tennessee and Illinois. But remember, the SEC will only tell you that bowl games matter when they win. By the way, the SEC 2-4 in bowl games so far, and the Big Ten 5-0. Dan Lanning today on Media Day claimed the Big Ten best conference in the country. Two-time national champion the last 2 years and 5-0 in bowl games. So, but remember, the narrative only matters when it benefits the SEC. You also have the Valero Alamo Bowl, USC, TCU, and then Coastal Carolina and Louisiana Tech played in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. The key to a bowl game, too, is getting to a cool place. Like, I played the two games that I went to in Memphis. Those are pretty cool games. So the Music City Bowl's in Nashville. That's a cool place to go play. Like, if you're a college kid, and maybe it doesn't matter anymore because these kids actually make money. We didn't have any money. And so, like, going to a bowl game was kind of fun. Am I back? Yeah, we're having...
You're back.
Yeah. So that was happening yesterday, too. Might want to make a note of that.
Yeah.
Apparently, my mic decides to just cut out at times. I thought that was my headphones, but it turns out it's the mic. So it's a little on-air producing there. Case, make a note of that. But yeah, getting to go to a bowl game in a cool place was a big deal. So like when we went to Memphis, that was really fun. I'm guessing Nashville, again, fun time for these kids. And maybe the transfer portal, again, takes some of that out because, again, you got kids now making all this money. But I would still think that if you're a 19-year-old kid, even if you have a little money, I think I'd have a better time in Nashville if I had 100 grand in my pocket than if I had nothing.
Again, it makes the L.A. Bowl so much worse in my eyes. You have people going to Nashville, people going to Memphis, people enjoying every bit of the culture, and then you want to send me to L.A. in...
Yeah, go to party cities. Nah, yeah, like, I'm if you good. Got to a bowl game in New Orleans, and thing is, if you go to, like, the Sugar Bowl, you have to kind of be locked in. But if you send me to the Mardi Gras Bowl, I don't know what bowl game is happening in New Orleans that is actually, you know, kind of one of these mini bowl games. But if you sent me to a bowl game in New Orleans, or you sent me one in Miami, you sent me to one in a cool destination, Vegas obviously would be a cool one, and you give me a couple bucks to spend, you give each player like, you know, 2-3 grand on top of their NIL, and you're like, hey man, go have fun in the city for a week and you're gonna play a little bowl game. Hell yeah. You'll get guys to play in that. Not everyone, but those should still be cool games.
The New Orleans Bowl was last week, December 23rd. Western Kentucky beat Southern Miss.
Hmm.
But right before Christmas, you're gonna send me to New Orleans. And then I get to go back home and hang with my family after being in New Orleans and playing a bowl game. That sounds like a pretty fun experience.
Yeah. Well, Steven, who's our new producer, who will start at some point this week, we introduced him to him yesterday. He asked me today, we were sitting around in the office, and he said, you know, would you transfer in today's portal world? And I said, well, I would have transferred after my first year. I didn't like BYU when I got there. I tried to transfer, and that was back in the day where they could hold your scholarship, and they could decide where you could transfer to. And, yeah, they weren't going to let me go somewhere that I wanted to go. They basically said I couldn't transfer anywhere in the Pac-10, which is most of the places that I had built any kind of relationship with getting recruited. So I was like, ah, crap. So I was like, God, am I going to have to pay my own way for like a year and a half? And it kind of spooked me and ended up staying. So I would have transferred in the portal at the beginning. My junior and senior year, when I was actually good, would I have transferred? I don't think I would have. But you throw money into it. That's where I'm not going to be hypocritical and say, I don't know what it depends on where that money is.
How old were you your junior year?
I was, you know, 20 years old, 20, 21 years old. So it's one thing, like I can say that at that point, I don't think I would have wanted to leave my friends. At that point, it's guys that I played with for 3-4 years. I thought we were going to have a pretty good team. You know, I was comfortable where I was at. Maybe you're dating someone. I would think, no, this is kind of where I'm at and I'll play out my final 2 years and see where this goes.
But think about... maybe your three friends that you're hanging out with
gone.
Are all ready to leave too.
Yeah. You know, if my roommate, who was my roommate for a couple of years, who was one of my best friends, who was a year older than me, he leaves, all of a sudden that's different. And CBS Sports put out a thing of kind of where the money is for transfer portal stuff. And, you know, they were talking like an interior lineman that I was. They're saying for like a good interior lineman, it could be $500,000. So it's one thing, like, my junior year, let's say my junior year when I was an all-conference player, let's say I could have gotten, I don't know, let's say I could have gotten 100 grand to go somewhere leading into that season. And then that coming off an all-conference season, my senior year, maybe I get 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000. And then coming out of high school, I was a high school All-American. You know, let's say I would have been a 3, maybe a 4-star recruit because that wasn't really a thing when I was coming out. Does that get me 100 grand to go somewhere? And now all of a sudden, over the course of those 3 years, just those three decisions, could that have made me 800 grand? That's more money than I ever sniffed in my 2 years of the NFL. It's more money than I would have ever made in my entire life. And I don't remember who it was. It might have been Sark that had it in one of his rants, where he lost 3 running backs to the portal. And he was talking about how, do you have the Sark clip? The Sark clip? Here, this is like 45 seconds of Steve Sarkisian today, getting ready for his bowl game.
Yeah, no, I think it's all so strategic, right? Because it's one about need, it's two about money, you know, and the cost, and where's the market, and you know, which agent you're dealing with. There's some agents that are rational, and there's some that, this is their first time ever being an agent. I don't even know if they're licensed to be agents, but all of a sudden they get to be agents, you know, because we have no certification process in college football. Or in the NFL, you have to be certified. In college football, it might be their college roommate, you know, their freshman year, who's their agent right now. And this guy's throwing numbers at you, and it's like, we can't even deal with this. Like, you just move on. And so it's unfortunate, and we'll get there in college football, but right now it's a tough situation. That being said,
see, at least I thought that was at least a rational point of it, where he said, hey, if someone's coming at me, and again, he had three running backs under the portal. If someone comes to you and says, hey, I want $1 million. Good for you for being like, dude, we're not paying that. And I think there's another clip where he says, hey, if you can get that out there, good luck. But you don't know if you don't ask. So for some of these kids, this is their only opportunity. Like Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, it's the only time he'll make this money. He will not play in the NFL. This is it. This is his one chance to make money.
And would he make that money at any other school?
And so
even in that conference?
Yeah, so I think that the argument was made that, are you actually doing yourself as an athlete a disservice by not entering the portal every single year? Because by entering the portal, it basically turns into an auction, which sucks. But for those kids, I would like to say there's more to it than just money. You should stay where it's a good fit. You should stay where you're comfortable and continuity and all that stuff. But if I don't think that the NFL is not a given by any stretch of the imagination for anybody. So if I know Texas is offering me $150,000, how do I know what someone else is willing to give me unless I put my name out there? And it really does behoove the athlete every year. If you're trying to maximize your dollars in a short window, you have maybe 3 or 4 years to do this. I understand why kids are doing it. Sucks for the programs. And maybe it sucks for the kid too, because maybe he ends up in a bad fit and it doesn't work out for him. But the chance to monetize. So I can't sit up here and say that I wouldn't have done it. As a 47-year-old guy, I can look back on that. Nah, I wouldn't have done any of that crap. But I also don't know what amount of money was being thrown my way.
Hindsight's 2020.
So when you're 20 years old and you think there's maybe a chance out there to make some of this money, and again, some of these figures that are being thrown out there from CBS Sports, and again, remember, this is all just kind of, this is speculation, but they were talking about for a quarterback, a high-end quarterback, it's $3.5 million. Average quarterback, $1.5 million to $2.5 million. Low-end, $750,000 to $1 million. And there's not that many quarterbacks out there. And it goes down from there. Running backs, high end was $1 million, average $400,000 to $700,000, low end $250,000. Wide receiver, $1 to $2 million, low end $300,000 to $500,000. We get to where's the offensive tackles, $300,000 to $1 million. You're in that range. And so I think most of the positions are probably in there. Interior offensive line, we're one of the lowest. It was $200,000 to $800,000. But still,
$200,000 for a 20-year-old kid?
Yeah, dude, it's life-changing. It's life-changing money. Most of the positions in college are going to be somewhere between $300,000 and $2 to $3 million. So how do you know what range you're at unless you're willing to put your name out there in the portal? Because also what Sark said in that clip, it goes on a little further, and again, it was a whole press conference, but he said, hey, we have to tell those kids, if you can get it somewhere, good luck. If you don't, come back to us. And I think that's the thing to remember with a lot of these kids entering the portal too, is they can come back. Most of the schools are not doing the, hey, if you go in the portal, F you. It's more, if you go in the portal, please come back.
No love lost.
No love lost, because this is just the reality of the situation that we're in. So it just, that's, someone said that my moral high ground at time gets tiresome. And maybe that's true, but I try to be honest about it. And this is one where I can't take a moral high ground. Would I have entered into the portal? Don't know, because I don't know what money was offered to me. It's easy to say what you would or wouldn't do until someone puts, at the time, life-changing money in front of you. And does $800,000 or $500,000, does it set you up for the rest of your life? No. But at 19 years old, probably the most money I'd ever had in my hand at any given time was probably a scholarship check, which was $900. I think that was probably the most money I'd ever seen in my life, was $900. That was my scholarship check every month. So if someone came to me and said, here's $500,000 and we don't want you to play at BYU, we want you to come play at a better university. We were a good school. We were a top 25 school. We weren't a national title school. So if I'm there happy at BYU, and like I said, I got my little girlfriend, I got my buddies, everything's going great, and BYU is paying me 25 grand, and I'm like, oh, this is fantastic, or 50 grand. And then Oregon comes to me and says, hey, we need a center. And you're from this area, by the way. Would you like $500,000 to come play at Oregon and for a chance to win a national title? It's hard. It's hard at that point to say no, even if I didn't want to leave my school. And that's just the reality of what we're facing now.
I think that makes anyone go, I'll rethink that a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough world out there right now. Where it settles, I don't know. Don't know. One of my favorite things I saw, though, in this is, you know, guys are now putting out, like, their, yesterday was the Tulsa house. Every day there's new stuff in this. It's crazy. It's like, it's the story that just keeps on giving. So yesterday was the Tulsa house that the Tulsa football team is renting a house and doing a documentary Hard Knock style about the transfer portal. Well, everything's going to be run out of basically a big party house off campus, and they're going to film it all. The number two tackle in the portal, he was a kid from Oklahoma State. His name was Grant Seagram. So he listed over like a 4-day period, he's going to visit. I think it was like actually like a 6-day period. He's going to visit 4 schools. He's the number two tackle in the portal. So he's going to visit like Northwestern. He's going to visit Arkansas. And remember, he's an Oklahoma State offensive lineman. Would you care to guess what the 4 school that he's going to visit in his tour of schools before he settles?
All rivals of Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State. My man is visiting his own school.
Just stopping by to say hi.
It's great. I love it. Dude's played at Oklahoma State for 3 years, and he actually put out that on his list of teams that he's going to visit is Oklahoma State. I freaking love it. I'm going to go home and tell the BTJ, I'm going to tell the missus. I'm like, hey, just so you know, make a tour of ladies. Make a tour of ladies over the next week or two. Kind of see what's out there, but I want you to know, baby.
On the list.
You're on the list. I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you a world two. I'm going to go back and just, you know, see.
You made the cut.
Just every day there's something great about this. All right, we take a look ahead, and don't forget, 4 o'clock, Tyson Alger, I-5 Corridor, will join us from Miami. Boots on the ground. We'll actually talk real meaningful football. So we'll start taking a look ahead. Oregon and Texas Tech when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan. Welcome in. A little short.
Did it again.
I'm back. Yeah, we're having mic difficulties. I'll slide over.
You gotta be gentle.
I'll slide over next break. I didn't even touch it. So we'll slide over next one. Anyway, we're shocking development. We're dealing with Odyssey audio issues. It only cuts out for like 1 or 2 seconds too. So, and the light doesn't change. So I don't know. We'll get our IT guys in here. We'll try to figure out how to slide over during the break.
We'll get it fixed.
Yeah, we'll get it fixed. A lot of college football this hour, obviously. And then Tyson Alger, I-5 Corridor, he'll join us at the top of the hour. He's boots on the ground in Miami, and we'll start taking a look ahead at Oregon and Texas Tech in the news. And then 5 o'clock hour, we'll shift heavy into the NFL. And then in the club, I got a couple fun stories about a guy who was annihilated by tripping over his cat. We'll do a year in review since this is our last show of the, of 2025. Remember, tomorrow, no prime time. I think we have, I'm assuming we're still doing the normal morning show. We doing normal mornings, morning, midday?
I believe that we're still same in the mornings.
Same in the morning, and then I think we're same in the morning, same in the midday, and then in the afternoon, 1 o'clock.
1 to 4.
1 to 4, remember, we'll have a special Orange Bowl preview with Andy Durr Johnson, will host, Anthony Newman, and myself, and we'll get you ready for all-day coverage on New Year's Day of Oregon and Texas Tech. All right, so we'll take a break. We're going to work on our little mic issue here, and then when we come back, Tyson Alger, I-5 Corridor, will join us, boots on the ground in Miami for an Oregon-Texas Tech preview right here on 105.1 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.